Welcome to a Bible study, Gospel according to Matthew. Today is Wednesday, June 5th, 2025. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible studies for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hands, we'll continue the study for the additional 15 minutes. If you have any questions, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse, so we can easily go back to the verses in question. Okay, let's begin with a prayer. Holy, righteous, gracious Father in heaven, often we think we know something because it's logical or reasonable for our minds, but many times we try and apply this logic to thy word and we discover that we cannot get to the deep riches of thy word. Father, thy word tells us that your thoughts are not our thoughts and that your ways are not our ways. Father, teach us more and more to be completely broken before thy word. We pray that you let us realize thy deep truths. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue leading us in truth as we continue in studying thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, in the book of Matthew, finished chapter 24. I'll be moving into 25 shortly. But we're looking at some other places in the Bible that gives us more information about what we were looking at in Matthew 24. Which leads us to a lot of information concerning the end of the world in this time period and going through the Great Tribulation. Okay, we did look at Mark 13 last week, and we saw a lot of information similar to what we read in 24, and maybe a couple of verses here or there that was added and gave us a little more insight on our study. We also looked at Luke 21. Last week, and again, that gave us a lot of insight. It gave us a little more information, a few verses here or there that we didn't see in Mark, or maybe we didn't see in Matthew. Now, we were looking last week in Luke chapter 18, but it turns out, because I know there's a couple of verses that gives us a little more information in the Gospels, the Gospel of John doesn't get into any details concerning the end. But it's in Luke 17, which is what I was looking for, and it's only a few verses, and we're going to read that. Luke 17, we're going to be looking at verses 20 through 37. So Luke 17, verses 20 through 37. And when he demanded of, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that shineth out of the one part under the heavens shineth unto the other part under the heavens, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, that's the carcass, whoever the body is or the carcass is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Now we saw that the eagles identified with the false prophets. It's the fowls of the air. And we know that the body that's being referred to is the dead carcass, the dead church, and it's the fowls of the air, or the false prophets and false teachers feeding off the dead carcass because the body of Christ had departed out. Now there's a couple of things here. It gives us a lot of good insight. You know, many people over the years, and I know many, many years ago, I've heard many, many people talk about the end times, at a time when I didn't know very much at all. But everybody, and still even past that, people talk about an actual wars and bloodletting and all kinds of, you know, horrible situations that we might have to deal with. But it's clear, one of the things that God tells us is that not a hair on your head shall perish. That's a clue that he's not talking about physical things. He's talking about spiritual things. And the verses here really give us a lot of insight on what's going on in the world at the time, right before his coming. And this would be the very end. And he refers to this as when, in the days of Lot, everything seemed normal. They were building, they were eating, they were given in marriage, and so on. And then suddenly, of course, the flood comes, or in the days of Lot, the fire rains down upon them, and Sodom and Gomorrah, and I think it's five cities in that area that were destroyed. And again, the same things in the days of Noah, okay? The flood came and took them all away. So the days of Noah, there was one other thing I wanted to look at here to make a point of. I thought there was something else. But, okay, anyway, interesting picture. Two in the field, one taken, the other left. Two at the grinding mill, one taken, the other left. Again, identifying with the two sons. Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman, one by the free woman. Two is always a picture of the church, and it could identify with the corporate church and the body of Christ in that corporate church. It could identify with that, number two. It also could identify with the number two, could identify with just the body of Christ or with the corporate church. So, of course, we look at the context to try to figure out which of those three possibilities it might be. And here, clearly, it is a picture of both sons, one taken and the other left. So the next verse we want to, book that we want to look into is the book of Daniel. In chapter 12, gives us some insight again of the end of the world. And we're going to compare that to Revelation chapter 12, which again gives us a lot of information. Of course, Revelation is sort of a synopsis of the Bible ultimately, particularly the New Testament, but also the Old Testament too. It focuses in, of course, on Christ coming and the return and the salvation of his people. But particularly in 12, I think it gives us some good insight. So let's look at Daniel 12 first, and then we'll look at Revelation chapter 12. Okay. Chapter 12, verse 1, book of Daniel. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So, of course, this is focusing on the end of the world. Michael, the word Michael, or the name Michael, means one who assuredly is God. And of course, Michael is the chief messenger. We'll see it in the King James as the archangel. And the word angel, of course, is the messenger. And I've done a study in Michael. Maybe we'll do a study, take a look at Michael one day. And we'll it doesn't come up too many times in the Bible, but clearly it's a picture of Christ. Michael stands up for his children, ultimately, the chief messenger. Okay, so clearly this is talking about the end time and those things that are written in the book, which is the Bible. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. This is the resurrection. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. And this is why nobody had ever been able to really understand, at least I've never heard of anybody given any understanding of the book of Revelation, you know, going back beyond maybe 30 years ago, 25 years ago. About 25, 30 years ago. And even a lot of commentary, nobody seems to have understood it, because right here we read about it, it's sealed up. Shut up the words and seal up the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And of course, the knowledge is the knowledge of God's plan, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his wisdom. And we may be able to identify a little bit with the idea of the knowledge increasing even in the world, in the sense of technology and different things. But this is clearly focusing in on the understanding of his word, the understanding of the times of the end. So let me read that verse again. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And the one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the powers of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, the times, times and a half, it identifies with three and a half, and three and a half is broken up in a couple of different ways. For instance, we see the hour of judgment, which is broken up in two halves, like a half hour. But it also, sometimes we'll see it referred as a week, and a week has 7 days, and three and a half plus three and a half is seven. But the biggest picture, the three and a half, which gives us some time clues, and we can identify this with the ministry of Christ that he preached in this on this earth for 3.5 years. And so that first 3.5 does identify with that time period. And it's a figurative 3.5, just as far as a number is concerned, times, times, and the dividing of times. And then that 3.5 is also identified with the gospel going out throughout the New Testament. Okay, and when you put the two together, you have a number 7, and the 7 identifies with a week. Now, again, that really works out with a lot of different information that we'd want to look at to see the timing of the end, and looking at the breaking up of the numbers, you know, between an 80-year period, which is 80 years, which is the length of the biblical, that God gives us biblically, of a generation, knowing that we're going to go from that generation not passing away. We looked at that last week and the week before, and I think even the week before that, we spoke a little bit about that. But in any event, that generation, being in an 80-year period, began with the clue of the end that God gives us, and that is the fig tree coming in leaf. We know that goes back to 1948, and 80 years later brings us back to 2028. And so we know sometime during that period, Christ will come. But it can be a little bit after. You know, that generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. So I guess there could be a possibility to go a little bit further than 2028. But it also can come, a little later than 2028, but it also can come earlier than 2028. And we know the final clue, and there's only one clue that I'm aware of that's really left for the timing of the return of the Lord, and that's when man says peace and safety at last. Now, that has not happened yet, and it will happen. Anybody paying attention to what's going on in the world, we can see we're coming close to that point. I think there's going to be a really serious scare, but everything will work out well. Maybe even a nuclear scare. But in any event, I'm absolutely convinced that there'll be no serious destruction. There'll be no great war. Maybe more rumors of wars, possibly, but there'll be no great war. Because, again, God just gave us all that information in Luke 17 particularly, like in the days of Noah. Everything was normal. People were going about their business, buying and selling and marrying and giving in marriage. The same thing that God refers to is not only in the days of Noah, but also of Lot. Everything seems normal, nothing going on. And again, the other clue, not a hair on your head will perish. So again, we know that there's going to be a time period when man says peace and safety at last. And that'll be the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 14. Okay, let's get back here. See where we'll pick back up. And we'll pick up 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now it's been opened up, and now an understanding of the book of Revelation has been opened up, understanding the details of Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. And a lot of here in Daniel. We're not going to get deep into Daniel. Maybe one day we will. There's a lot of things I want to look into. I'd like to go into the Gospel of John maybe after this. I've been looking at Acts. I'd like to go into Acts and maybe do a quick study in Acts. I don't know. But we'll see where we're going to go after we finish with Matthew. But I would like to get a little deeper in the book of Daniel too. Okay, so many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Okay, and of course they'd be made purified, of course, and made white identifies with salvation, and the fact that we are tried, like gold is, or silver is tried in the fire. So is the body of Christ, to try it in the fire. And that purpose, of course, is to purge off the impurities, to cleanse us. And the ultimate trying is for us to see and understand, because God doesn't need to try us to know how we're going to respond. He already knows. But again, it is for our benefit. And from the time of the daily shall be taken away, and the abomination that make it desolate set up. Now, the daily is the daily sacrifice is the daily. It is for Christ himself. It's the sacrifice that Christ gave. And he is our daily. I mean, constantly, you know, we go throughout the day, and if we find ourselves falling into a direction we shouldn't be going, and we can repent and turn to our daily, to the daily sacrifice, which, again, is the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ. And so from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and this identifies in the church, and the abomination that make it desolate, of course, that's Satan taking a seat in the temple, and that is set up. There shall be 1,290 days. And again, that's a number that I think we looked at that in our study of Revelation. But again, it's a time period that God refers to, 1,000, what is it? Let's see, 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Okay, so that gives us a little more insight of what's going on here at the end of the world, and to giving us the picture of Michael standing up. And there is another place in the Bible that talks, I'm not sure whether it uses the name Michael or uses the word chief messenger or archangel, where it stands up for his children. And angels don't have children in the sense of an angelic being. But Christ, of course, we are the children of God. So that's another clue that Michael has to be something other than an angelic being. So as far as being an angel, as people think. Okay. Let's see, the next place we're going to take a look is in Revelation chapter 12. So, Revelation chapter 12, and that's going to give us a little more insight also on this time period. And this goes back, of course, beginning in 12, this great wonder in heaven is identifying with the Old Testament Israel, identifying with as the woman, the bride of Christ, ultimately, and giving birth to Christ. But let's read it. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the sun identifies with the light of the gospel, and the moon under her feet, and the moon is the lesser light to rule the night, and it identifies with the law of God. Again, being back to ultimately the gospel, the Bible, the Word of God, the law of God. And so the moon under her feet, so she's standing on the law. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And the crown identifies with the crown of life, and the 12 identifies with the fullness of what God has in view. We know that stars identify with people, particularly with those bringing the gospel, of course. There's also wandering stars, those that appear to be bringing the gospel, identifies with the false prophets and the false teachers. But 12, again, gives us the fullness of what God has in view. And we know the 12 identifies with the Old Testament, and 12 identifies with the New Testament. You know, there is the 12 tribes, which identify with the body of Christ, or the body of God, in the Old Testament. And then there's the 12 disciples, which identifies figuratively language with the body of Christ in the New Testament. And then it goes, then we read on, and she being with child, and that child is Jesus Christ, about to be birthed. This is going back to 7 BC, the birth of Christ. She being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, and we know that red dragon identifies with Satan, with the devil, and red is judgment, identifies with ultimately color of blood. And having seven heads and 10 horns, seven identifying with the protection, with the perfection of the leadership. The heads, of course, is that which is the leadership. But seven heads and 10 horns, and 10 identifies with the completeness of what God has in view, and the horns identify with power. And which brings us to the Bible, the Word of God. Satan comes with a Bible. He comes preaching the Word of God. He takes his seat in the temple, claiming to be God, bringing a false gospel that would deceive even the very elect, if it were possible. That's rhetorical. And seven crowns upon his head. So again, he's coming as a king. He's coming as, again, identified as Christ. And his tail. Now, tail, we know that the tail is the false prophet, okay? And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to deliver her child as soon as it was born. And of course, again, the woman is identifying with Old Testament Israel, the body of Christ in the Old Testament Israel, to bring forth Christ into this world. And then, of course, Satan is there to devour that child, to kill that child. And we're all aware of the story when the birth of Christ, and King wanted to kill him and killed all those children. I think it was under age two. In trying to kill Christ the King. And it goes on, and she brought forth a man-child, Christ, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And that, of course, is the ascension. And the woman fled into the wilderness, into the New Testament era, you know, the period after Christ. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And that's 1,260 days. We're not going to go into that number, but again, it identifies and gives us more information concerning the timing of the end of the world, of period of time. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And that war has taken place throughout the New Testament era in the churches, and even going even deeper than that, right into the body of Christ. Right, you know, we're all, Armageddon is within us, as well as it also, we see it outside. There is that war, and so that war in heaven is identifying with the body of Christ. And Michael, Christ, that's a picture of Christ, and his messengers fought against the dragon, which is Satan, and the dragon fought with his messengers, which of course is the devils, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And, you know, the Bible tells us, Christ tells us, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And the power comes when Christ finally goes to the cross, pays the price, and now Satan has finally been slain or defeated, although he's allowed to continue for a period and is loose for a certain period. Let's see, let me read. And there was war in heaven. And again, heaven, the kingdom of heaven is within you, okay? And no longer can Satan come inside the body of Christ. In the Old Testament, again, the kingdom of heaven is still within people, but there is that battle, that war. Satan was prince and power of the air. He was the ruler of this world. And that's why when Christ came and he went up onto the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, and he was tempted of the devil, and the devil said, you know, hey, this is my kingdom. I'll give you all this. All you do is bend your knee or cast yourself down and you know, because the angels will catch you. You won't even be able to dash your foot before a stone to be injured in any way, because he's eternal God. And so, again, this is where the war is. Now, there was no more war in heaven. Now, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels or messengers fought against the dragon, the devil, and fought against with his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there found any more in heaven. And remember, we looked at the three heavens, this heaven is identifying ultimately with a couple of places inside the body of Christ on the one hand. And the other place, of course, is whatever the gospel is being preached, the heaven above the earth, in the sense the earth being the corporate church and preaching the gospel off the pulpit. And the heavens above bringing down the rain, the latter rain, the former rain, which identifies with the gospel. The baptizing, we are sprinkled with the gospel, sprinkled with the water, which of course is the picture of being baptized by the God's word and through the Holy Spirit. And he prevailed not, neither was there place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And the earth identifies with the corporate church, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come the salvation and strength of his kingdom. You see, now we know that's the cross. And so what we're reading here is that battle, okay, and it has taken place within the people. And this is the time period that God is referring to when Satan has finally been, judged, although he still continues for a season and he's loosed. And he's still prince and power of the air, the place of conversation in this world. And God is allowing that to happen, but it's, judgment day is coming. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation." That's the cross and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of Christ, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Now again, the earth is identifying with the corporate church, and the sea is identifying with the world. The sink down into the sea is identifies with the sinking down into the depths of hell. So woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And to us it's been 2,000 years, and but to God it's as a drop of water that turns into a vapor, and it is gone. Time, of course, not affected. And sometimes when God talks, he skips a whole period of time, and I think that's what we're going to see here. He skips a whole period of time, takes us right to the end of the world. And when the dragon was saw that he was cast out onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. So the assault upon the corporate church, or upon the church, true church of God, which identified inside with the corporate church, there's always been that assault. We saw the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and they're all gone. They've gone apostate. And many churches have gone apostate over the last 2,000 years. And now pretty much all of the churches have gone apostate, and many are in prison. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings, number two again, identifying with the church, two wings of a great eagle. Now, remember the two wings. Remember, God speaks about taking us as his chicks, or particularly Old Testament Israel. How often would he take them like chicks under the wings that they would not? And it talks about here about the wings of a great eagle. Now, the eagle identifies ultimately with a fowl, with a unclean bird. But it's the wings that is the picture here. Okay? And the wings of the great eagle, I think, is identifying with the flight of the church. So the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, in other words, to be within a corporate church during the New Testament era, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for, again, times and a times and a half a times, three and a half. And again, we're not going to get into the numbers, but these three and a halves, I do believe, is focusing in on the time of the preaching of Christ, which is 3.5 years, his ministry, and then the continuation of Christ preaching through the body of Christ, which is identifying with another 3.5, which brings us to over 2,000-year period. Okay, so let's see. Fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for times, times, and a half times from the face of the serpent. And the serpent, again, we know is Satan. And the serpent cast out of his mouth has a flood of false doctrines after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. But the corporate body, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the false teachings, the abominable heresies. Swallowed up the flood of false doctrines, which Satan, which is the dragon, cast out of his mouth, bringing lies, twisting scriptures. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus Christ. And of course, that brings us into the great tribulation at that period. We go into 13, it builds another story, and the book of Revelation is very dimensional. It'll give us a picture that we would look at, and then another picture, and another picture, and we have to kind of merge these pictures together to get the whole scene and understanding. And often it's not in chronological order either. So God will give us a picture, and then He'll come back and draw another picture. And again, it's all very dimensional. It's a three-dimensional picture, I guess, trying to be put together with them. Okay, so let's see what we're going to look at next. We're going to go to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. Let's see. Zechariah, where is Zechariah here? 14. I think that's what it was. Zechariah 14. Let's take a quick look. In Zechariah 14. Okay. Okay, Zechariah 14. Behold, the day of Jehovah cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the cities shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Jehovah go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is in before Jerusalem, on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed towards the north, and half of it towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And Jehovah, my God, shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to Jehovah, not a day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. And of course, that is identifying with the gospel going out. And so we're getting a pivotal picture here of the gospel going out through Christ coming and paying for our sins, going to the cross, and the living waters going out, being poured, the Holy Spirit or the gospel being poured out. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former city, and half of them towards the hinder city. In summer and in winter shall it be. And Jehovah shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Jehovah, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Haniel unto the king's winepresses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plagues wherewith Jehovah will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall be consumed away in their holes, and in their and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. You know, we go into the epistles, I forget exactly where, it may have been Thessalonians, which gives the same kind of a picture here, in the sense that this whole creation will melt with a fervent heat. And so that'll be the end of the world judged by fire. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from Jehovah shall be among them. And there shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathens round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in the great abundance. And so shall be the plagues of the horse and of the mule, of the camel and of the ass. And all of this is a picture of the corporate body, by the way, you know, the horse, the mule, camel, and the ass. And all of the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which shall come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Jehovah of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, there's a lot here I don't understand because I haven't really done a deep study in it, but I see a lot of little pictures that I do see and identifies with a lot of things we've been looking into. And that's why I wanted to read through this. But this is a very interesting picture here. I think I might understand it. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Jehovah of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles also is identifying with the end of the world. It takes us to the Feast of Trumpets. And this going up into the mountain, I think, is giving us a picture. Everyone that is left of all the nations which shall come against Jerusalem, even them shall go up from year to year to worship the Lord. And so there's many years, because the Great Tribulation was a 23-year period. And then, of course, there's a period of time after that, you know, with judgment upon ultimately nations, Leviathan being judged, which is happening now. But those who are going up to Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass, whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Jehovah of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain, no gospel, no latter rain. They will not get the water of life, the living water. But the key thing I think that's being pictured here is there's a period of time of years where we go, where do we go? When the abomination of desolation is seen, where do we go? We flee to the mountains. We go up to the mountains. Year to year, we continue to go up into the mountain. To go up into the mountain is to identify with Christ, is to sit at the feet of Jesus, to look into our Bibles, to communicate with God, and God communicating with us through his word. That's what I think verse 16 is talking about, and 17 here, those who are not going up into the mountain, they're not receiving the rain. They don't have the latter rain. They don't have the gospel coming forward to them. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, and that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith Jehovah will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So again, this is that time period, again, flee into the mountains. And the family of Egypt, Egypt identifies with the unsaved, it identifies with the corporate church. It's a figurative language of the corporate church, particularly in the day, you know, of the end of the world, when it goes upon churches go apostate, the great falling away, the apostasia. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations. And again, Egypt identifying with the corporate body. And the punishment of all nations, the judgment identified in Isaiah 14, that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto Jehovah, and the pots in Jehovah's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judea shall be holiness unto Jehovah of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and see their reign in. That's confusion. See the therein, or see the. Let me see that particular word if I can get a.
Seethe.
Seethe, and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of Jehovah of hosts. Okay. So again, I think Zechariah gives us a lot of more insight of what we've been looking at. There's a lot here that's a very difficult language and I haven't worked through. But I recognize a lot of words. The camel, for instance, and the ass and the beast. I mean, all these are very, very well known to those of us who have been looking into these word studies to try to come to an understanding of what God is teaching us here in these verses. Okay, let's see what else we have here now. We're going to go now to Revelation chapter 7. I right there. We'll go over there and take a look. Chapter 7. Oh, I think it's chapter 7, verse 11 through 18. I think that's what that is. But let's go take a look. No, it can't be, because that'd be quite a bit. It's Revelation 18. All right, let's go look at Revelation 7, 11 and see once what that is. I'll go to 10. All right, well, we'll read through it. Just want to see where I want to really start. I've got a note starting at 11, but maybe start a little earlier than that. All right, let's start at 11. And all the messengers of the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And of course, the blood of the Lamb is identifies with Christ. And being made white is purity, and so on. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell with them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, I'm not sure why I brought that up, seven, but it, of course it does bring us, again, to the end of the world here. But let's go to the other verses. Let's see what that is. Another Revelation, I think it was, 18. So Revelation 18. Okay, yeah. All right, more insight. Babylon fallen, come to habitation of devils again. You know, mystery Babylon. Which is the apostate church. Churches that have gone apostate. The great falling away, the apostasia. Revelation 18:1. And after these things I saw another angel or messenger come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage or a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. So again, this is all identifying with the end times. It's identifying with the false prophets, the false teachers. The devil has come down and taken a seat. The great Babylon has fallen. Remember, you know, we get the picture in Revelation of the harlot and the queen. We saw the picture of the queen identified with the body of Christ, bringing forth Christ himself to be born into this world. And then there's the picture of the harlot, which is the woman sitting on the dragon with seven heads and ten horns. And so again, that is identified with Mystery Babylon, the harlot. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, going after other gods, another Jesus, other gospels, bringing in damnable heresies, doctrines of men, and the kings of the earth, in other words, the leadership, have committed fornication, going after another god, another Jesus. A fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. You know, we have the word of God. She still has the word of God. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, come out of her, my people, come out of the harlot, come out of Babylon. For my people, come out of her, my people, that you be not partners or partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto the heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double, according to her work, in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Now that double portion is identifying, you know, again, the body of Christ. We could break the Great Tribulation down into two parts. God refers to it as the hour of judgment. In 1 hour is she made desolate. Okay? So it's the hour of judgment. And God does break that down into two parts, a first half hour, and it identifies with a second half hour. And the first half hour is a time period when the body of Christ is still in the corporate church as a prisoner that has not come out yet, until finally the message comes out, come out of her, my people, that you be not partners of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. And then she gets the double portion. So that's the first portion. You know, the judgment is not upon us. It's not upon the body of Christ in the church. In the world, we will have tribulation. And in the churches, we'll even have tribulation, especially as they go apostate. So it's nothing new for the believer, this great tribulation. Of course, this is a great tribulation, one like never was before and never will be again. But that first time period of the body of Christ being in the church and the two witnesses being killed, being silenced from bringing forth a true gospel anymore, we are killed all the day long, the Bible tells us. And again, this is not a literal killing. This is a spiritual picture of things spiritual. And so the second part, the double, is when the body of Christ comes out, the light of the gospel is removed, but the corporate church continues. Without the candlelight, without the candle holders, which is the body of Christ, without the light of the gospel, bringing another Jesus. And that's the second portion, I believe, is in view. And then, of course, the final part, which becomes 11-year period, is the judgment of Leviathan and the nations of this world. Let me see where we go back to. Let's pick back up here. For her sins have reached unto the heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double, double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. The judgment is upon her, a double judgment. How much she hath glorified herself, and not Christ, not God, glorified herself, and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit as the queen, I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in 1 day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God that judgeth her. You know? So this famine of hearing the word of God, to be burned with fire, judgment, that's the picture of judgment, for strong is the Lord God that judgeth it. And the kings of the earth who have committed the spiritual fornication, going after other Jesuses, going after another God, and lived deliciously, they had the Bible, they had God's word with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour, is the hour, in 1 hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stone and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels, most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. And all this is identifying with, you know, God's word. It's identifying with people. You know, it's identifying, you know, like, for instance, silver and gold identifies with those who are purified, gone through the fire, and purified the silver and gold by bringing up the impurities and melting it again and sweeping it off and becoming purer and purer. But again, there's a lot of pictures, pearls. We've read the parable with the pearls, when someone finds a pearl and goes and sells all they have to buy. I think that was the one where he buys the land for a pearl of great price. Okay, and it goes on, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts. We know wheat identifies with the Word of God. We know the oil identifies with the Holy Spirit. And beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves, that identifies with the corporate church. And the souls of men and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour, there's that hour again, so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster, and all, and that identifies, of course, the ships identify with the corporate church going out into the world, throwing out the gospel net, bringing in the fish, making us fishers of men, all that is done with it. For in one hour, so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster, and all the company in the ships, and the sailors, and as many as trade by the sea, stood afar off, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust in their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in one hour, there's that hour again, she is made desolate. The judgment, the hour of judgment. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, and to deep, go down into the sea again is thrown up into being thrown into hell, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon, the corporate church, the apostate church, be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers identifying with bringing the gospel, and the musicians again bringing the gospel, and piping on, and the pipers and the trumpets shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatever crafts, cutting the stones and building, the edifying, building up, was okidomi, the body of Christ. We are living stones, Christ being the cornerstone. And the craftsman building that corporate church, building the body of Christ by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone, which crushes the grain in order to make the bread, shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle, we're the candle holders, and the light, of course, is the gospel, shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom, which of course is Christ, and of the bride, which is the body of Christ, shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorcerers were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Okay, it's a pretty dramatic picture. We had done a study in Revelation, if anybody's interested, and you can go back into our older stuff before Matthew and go through our study in Revelation, and we've looked at all these verses back then. But anyway, I wanted to give just an overview look at a lot of verses and paragraphs and, well, chapters in the Bible that'll give us a little more insight. We're familiar with a lot of language, and there is some new language here that in this study we're not familiar with, but again, we did do it in Revelation. Okay, see where we're at now. Okay, we've hit all those verses we want to look at. 8:30, so we've come to the end of our study. Next week, we're going to pick up in Matthew 25. Now, Matthew 25, again, is going to give us more information, okay, because God's going to give us some parables. And it's going to give, and again, it's going to identify with some timing. The timing is at midnight. The bride goes out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. That's to depart out, to come out of the church. Again, come out of for my people. You'll be not partners with him. But anyway, we're going to look at this the parable of the ten virgins, and we're going to look at a lot of scriptures that identify with it. And I know there's another parable in here. I'm trying to remember what it is. just real quick. All right, well, we're going to pick up on that next week. And then we'll see where we go. Like I said, I think when we come to the end of Matthew, we might go into the Gospel of John. I never really done a study in the Gospel of John. Of course, I've read through it many times. I've studied many, many verses in it, but not a full study of John. So I'm very excited to do that. We'll see once. I know the Gospel of John really focuses in deeply on who Jesus Christ is. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, he was in the world. The world was created by him, and the world knew him not. So John seems to be focusing a lot on the deity of Christ. And so we'll see once what kind of picture we get when we go through that particular book. All right, with that, we're done for the night. Good night, everybody. Lord willing, we'll see you next Wednesday. Good night.
Good night.